Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. Glad to have you listening. Well, if you just tuned in, you missed my earlier conversation with Dr. Tom Rayner. He's president, CEO of Lifeway. We talked about 9 traits of the outwardly focused Christian and the power of the local church and the call for us as Christians to be involved in our local church. Really thought-provoking conversation. In a little bit, that podcast will be up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Well, now we're going to switch gears and talk about a sensitive topic. Are you ready for this one? About how God wired men, specifically how God made them visually oriented, and how they have to fight for a pure heart and mind. We're covering this topic with Shanti Feldhan, a good friend of the program, and her co-author Craig Gross, who will join us second half of this hour. The title of their new book is Through a Man's Eyes, Helping Women Understand the Visual Nature of Men. I'm going to introduce Shanti, even though I don't think she needs an introduction, and we'll get her on the show. Shanti Feldhan is a social researcher, best-selling author, and popular speaker. Her groundbreaking books include For Women Only, The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, fantastic book. I think I endorsed that one. The Good News About Marriage. Shanti and her husband Jeff live in Atlanta with their teenage daughter and preteen son and 2 cats who think they're dogs. You can find her influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Welcome back to the program, Shanti.
It is always great to be with you.
I love talking with you as well. And you know the drill, so let's get to the scripture that you chose. You chose Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Shanti, talk about why you picked that verse.
Well, as I started researching this topic about men more and more, I realized there are so many things that impact them every day that kind of rub up against us as women, sometimes in the wrong way, mm-hmm. a little bit. And I realized there are things that really matter to them or really hurt them or really impact men or, you know, maybe a husband or a son. Especially in today's culture, which I know what we're going to be talking about today, and it's so critical for us as women to not just sort of stand up for our rights and look at the things like, well, what about me and those kinds of things, but also think, what is this like for my husband? What is this like for my son? And take an interest in them. So that scripture has been resonating with me a lot lately.
Wow, so good. And I'm going to jump ahead and ask you a question I was going to ask you about 20 minutes from now, just because I feel like it'll set off the conversation. In your chapter titled Nixing the Knee Jerk and Not Missing the Point, you tell a story about a time you were speaking at a church about one of your other books, and I think you were in the back lobby with the pastor, lots of people lining up to talk with you. And one man came up to you, and he surprised you by telling you that one of your books had ruined his marriage, and it just jolted you. I want you to tell that story and what we as women can learn from it.
Yeah, this really, and by the way, thanks for tossing me that bomb right now.
Yeah, you're welcome. No problem, Shanti.
You know, honestly, though, it is really important before we start talking about the visual nature of men and what that means and what it means for our men and for us. It is really important to understand how to handle this well. And what happened with that story is I was talking about For Women Only, which, you know, I know I've talked with you about understanding men in general, kind of their emotional needs. And there was this has been a wonderful resource for many marriages. And this surprised me because a man said, unfortunately, that, you know, his wife, the minute that she understood that men are visual, she got so upset. She didn't trust him anymore. Like, I didn't know you were attracted to other women, and how can I ever trust you again? And she stopped being intimate with him. And she, you know, everywhere they went in public, she was always looking to see where his eyes were. Mm. And it was just this really sad overreaction to something that, you know, honestly is, yeah, it's a challenge in this culture, but it's intended by God to be a good design that he's created in men. And this kind of reaction, it hurt my heart so much because it is so easy as women to kind of get maybe hurt by understanding how men are wired, that we don't go the next step and say, well, but what's good about this? And why would God have created them this way? And what does it mean for me? And how can I maybe support my man in today's culture rather than kind of punishing them and having this, you know, this sort of big emotional overreaction response? And, you know, men are told to take their thoughts captive in today's culture, right? Well, we have to take our thoughts captive too.
Yeah.
And when we start spiraling with this kind of reaction, that's time for us to say, no, you know what? No, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to approach this in maturity.
Well, I'm trying to think about what it must be like for a man. In fact, there's an opening scenario. I think Craig, did Craig write that? Obviously, he's the guy. He opens the scenario of just kind of a day in the life of an honorable Christian guy, but just how visually he's kind of, you know, awakened and stimulated every which way he turns. And it makes you just feel for him. And we as women, we tend to have two extreme reactions, either that overreaction. And imagine what that feels like for a man. I mean, God wired him to some degree and we're treating him like he's a defective jerk, or we deny it completely. And you say women are often blind to the fact, I mean, to find irony, that women are blind to the fact that men are visual. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. Talk about irony. Well, and here's the reason why we really felt we had to go beyond just the visual chapter in For Women Only and sort of blow it up into book size. And part of me is like, are you serious? I'm taking the most controversial chapter from the book and doing a whole book about it. Like, I must be a glutton for punishment. Yeah. But there's a reason I did that and a reason I felt like it was so important. It's because I've seen as a social researcher, and you know my background, right? Mm-hmm. I do all this research. I do all these studies. I've done this with many, many thousands of men and women now in all these big surveys. And one of the things that I have seen that has blown me away is I don't think there is any other single issue that affects so many millions and millions of men today that so many millions and millions of women are completely blind to and completely clueless about. Like, we don't even know it exists. And because of that gap in knowledge, what it means is the men that we love, a husband, a boyfriend, a son who's growing up in this culture, they're navigating this minefield every single day, worried about getting their feet blown off. And we women are just like, do-do-do-do-do. Like, we're just going about our day. We have no idea that this challenge awaits them every day. And how to support them, how to pray for them, what that means for them, how to help if there's been a problem that's arisen. And we just don't know anything about it. And I just think that that's crazy. Like, if we care about them, we have to know. We have to support.
Good, good word. Here's a quote from you. You know how, as a woman, you have a little voice deep inside you that sometimes wonders, am I lovable? Am I special? Am I beautiful? Well, men have deep questions, too, just different ones. Their thoughts sound like this. Am I any good at being a husband? Do I measure up? A man deeply wants and needs to feel appreciated. He needs to feel appreciated. And this is why this is so critical. I want you to get into the brain science and all of that in just a moment. But the idea of our reaction, overreactions, treating them as defective, as, I mean, you can imagine if they stumble, how terrible they feel about themselves anyways. So talk about really how critical it is that we somehow understand this enough to treat them the way that God would have us treat them.
Yeah, big picture, it really is about the fact that inside they really do have that deep vulnerability that, again, we don't know is there either. and that vulnerability really wants to be a great man for us. You know, these are men who want to be a great husband or a great dad, for example. And certainly for men in the church, in the body of Christ, absolutely want to honor God in their thought lives. And yet, we don't realize how difficult that becomes in this culture. And I can explain the brain wiring reason why that is in a minute if you want me to. But we don't realize that. We don't realize that when they stumble, when they fall, if they've looked at things on the internet they shouldn't have looked at, if their thought lives have become difficult today because they're so, you know, they're feeling that deep need to feel like a man. And looking at that picture makes me feel like a man. And then he feels like a failure for doing it. Those temptations and that trap, they hate it. They feel incredible shame about that. But they don't have anybody to talk to about it because most men, they don't really talk about personal issues like that with anybody except the woman that they feel the closest to, who's the most safe in their life. It's just on this issue, they've kind of learned it's not necessarily safe to talk to her about it because she doesn't understand. She doesn't get it. And so I have become absolutely passionate about, if we are going to help solve the problem, for example, of pornography, let's just say that one, if we're going to solve this, we have to enlist the support of women. We have to understand this so that a husband can come to us and say, here's what I'm wrestling with. Would you pray for me? Without feeling like she's going to think he's anything other than a normal man living in an abnormal culture.
Wow. Wow. Such a good word. You also say that in today's culture, a man's visual nature impacts every area of his life. I think that's something we didn't realize. Maybe unpack that for us, if you would.
Yeah, the way that basically what this is like, and I'll explain, you know, maybe in a minute, but because of their brain wiring, they are stimulated visually in a way they don't want to be. And it's a very, it sort of goes into sort of sexual stimulation, but that's not only it. And every day, all day, in every environment, this is something that's happening without their consent. They don't want it. And because of that, like a man, for example, goes to church. He just wants to worship. Right? Mm-hmm. He's just there. He's standing and singing and trying to worship God. And three rows in front of him, there's somebody who's dressed in a way that's stimulating that part of his brain over and over, and it's distracting. He doesn't want it. He's trying to focus on God. And instead, he's spending all his time trying to tear those thoughts down and take those thoughts captive and trying to honor his wife and honor God and honor that other woman, by the way. And that's an example. The wife standing next to him, my guess, she's probably completely clueless. She has no idea. And now that I've known this, there's literally been times that I've looked and I've watched my husband's face and I'm like, do you want to sit, switch seats? And he's like, yes.
Wow.
And so we move, you know, to a slightly different part and he's like, thank you, you know, so I can worship. And we just need to understand it. We just don't see it. We don't know how to support him.
Wow. Well, we need to take a break in a couple of minutes. So, and if the brain science takes more than that, can you start us up? And if we need to carry it over into the other side of the break, but unpack that. Help us understand the biology even behind how God wired men.
Sure. Yeah. Men and women, it turns out our brains are physically structured differently. They're wired differently in some ways. And the visual processing is actually one of the ways where there's one of the biggest differences. When men see let's just say a woman on television who's, you know, very revealingly dressed, for example, or, you know, maybe it's the pretty 20-something who's walking into Target and is wearing not much, right? Mm. What happens in their brain is completely different than what happens in a woman's brain when we see an attractive man. It turns out that there's a center in the back of the brain. It's called the nucleus accumbens. And it's the part of the brain that, you know that feeling when you're really hungry, haven't eaten all day, you walk into a room and you see food across the room, and you're kind of this gut-level reaction. You're drawn to want to consume the food. It's not thinking. It's this gut-level response. And then you think about it, and you look around, and you're like, oh, shoot, nobody's eating. I have to wait. But you have that gut-level response, that desire to consume that food, whether you want to or not. It's involuntary. Well, when a man sees that image of that woman in Target or the image on the television screen, that center in his brain lights up, and he has this gut-level biological stimulation, this desire to consume that image. And it's not really a desire for the person exactly. It's a desire for the image, because looking at the image would feel real good, just like eating the food would feel good when you're hungry. And then the thinking centers, the cortical centers at the front of his brain kick in, and he goes, wait, no, take that thought captive. Don't look at that. You know, look away or move to the other side of the church or whatever, because I don't want that stimulation constantly happening in my brain. And that's where the choice comes in. And that's why, you know, God said Jesus was tempted in every way and yet without sin. There's a difference between the biological temptation and the sin. The reason women don't get it is that when we see an attractive man, that back center of our brain doesn't light up. And instead, it's a thinking-oriented response. The cortical centers light up, and we think to ourselves, huh, he's an attractive man. And yeah, I mean, it can feel good to look at that image of that man that you think is really handsome, but that back of the brain, gut-level desire to consume that image and savor that image, it just doesn't happen. For women.
Wow. When we come back, I want to talk about why God made us so different.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
expect you to answer that, Shanti. But also I have something for you to think about to answer on the other side. When you hear women say, yes, my husband's a regular consumer of pornography, but men will be men, and that's just, I've accepted it. I've heard that that actually rewires, reframes things in their brain, and I would love for you to speak to that as well. Talking to Shanti Feldheim, got a few copies of her book, Through a Man's Eyes, Helping Women Understand the Visual Nature of Men. You can call anonymously if you've got a question, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Shanti Feldheim in a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my friend Shanti Feldheim. In just a bit, her co-author Craig Gross will also join us. Together, they co-authored a book, Through a Man's Eyes, Helping Women Understand the Visual Nature of Men. So if you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the podcast once it's up, because Shanti explained the biology behind a man's brain versus a woman's brain. And just in summary, when a man sees an image, there's like an awakened hunger in him that's involuntary. But then the next step is he has to make a choice. So that first response is kind of how God wired him. Well, one would ask, Shanti, and I'm sure you've received this question before, why did God make us so different to the point where it almost seems like we're missing? There's a disconnect between us.
Well, here's the good thing about this. And, you know, we can only speculate why God wired men this way. But let's remember something first. Remember that the only sight, the only sexually provocative or stimulating sight a man was ever supposed to see was of his wife.
Wow.
So that is how his brain was wired. Now, now take that to the next step. So imagine that things were as they were supposed to be, which they're not, but just imagine that that was the case. And he's out all day, he's hunting, he's doing whatever, he's bringing home the buffalo, I don't know, whatever he's doing. And then alone in the cave or alone in the home, he and his wife are together, and that sight of her is the only sight that he ever sees in that way in his whole life. And that is a regular thing. Now imagine that he's out with the buffalo the next day. What's he going to be thinking about? And what's going to be popping into his mind? And he's going to be thinking, got to get home, right? And it's the thing that we've seen is that sexual imagery and sexual experience for a man is a bonding thing that bonds a man to his wife, and it makes him feel so much closer to her. And, you know, when a man thinks of his wife in that way, which is what men, they love that part of their visual nature. They hate being in the minefield where they can get their feet blown off, but they love that part of their visual nature of being alone with their wives in that way and being able to think of her when those other images confront them. And that is a very bonding thing for a man. He feels that great rush of affection, and he returns his thoughts from those other images that he didn't want to see anyway to his wife. And that's another reason why I think we need to understand this, because let me tell you, I think sometimes we as women are a little shy with our husbands in that way. And men have told me privately, and I'm sure when Craig gets on the phone, he's probably going to go further in this direction, but men have told me privately they love being able to see their wife when they're intimate. They love being able to have those images. And I think we as women sometimes need to appreciate that that is the way that we are designed in marriage.
Would you say, Shanti, that then if within the context of marriage there's just perpetual sexual frustration, dysfunction, that you would look at that as a four-alarm fire and it's something that you should actually take care of because it so matters that that part of the relationship is healthy?
It does. It's actually one of the things I've become increasingly concerned about as my research has, you know, progressed over the years. At the beginning, you might remember when we first talked about For Women Only years and years ago, when I did the first version of it, Understanding Men, one of the things that I had found in the surveys was that for men, that sort of sexual relationship with their wife, that physical intimacy, isn't primarily a physical need for them. It's primarily an emotional need. And it really helps fill a man up emotionally, and it helps him feel close to his wife, and it helps bond the marriage together, and it helps him have the sense of well-being in all these other areas where he's so vulnerable out in the rest of his life. So I knew that. You know, I'd seen that in my surveys. And as the years went by and I started to do more and more of these studies and these surveys and then started to see the work that some other researchers have done, I've actually become a bit alarmed that it's very difficult to have that kind of close bonded relationship for a couple without that sense that there is that emotional and physical sexual connection, because it is such a big emotional need for a husband. So that has actually become something that I'm really concerned about today. I think we as women, if we are the ones, and not everybody's like this, obviously, but it is the majority, if the woman is the one who maybe has less of the libido, if she's busy with the kids, if she's running around all day, she's working, you know, a full-time job, for her it might be, I hate to say the word, it might be kind of optional. And for a man, it's this core of how he feels about himself and how he feels about her and the marriage that affects everything else, and I don't think we get that. So that's another thing that I'm really passionate about trying to help women understand. It does not mean that this is like you have to have sex every day. That is not what I'm saying.
You hear all these women go, "Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus."
Yeah, exactly. But I think we women just need to be aware that, yeah, we want him to talk to us regularly. Mm. We want to have intimate talking time, and he kind of wants to have that intimate sexual time. You know, it's for him, it's a very similar emotional experience.
So for the wife who feels like that's all he ever wants, that's all he ever talks about, but he doesn't emotionally nurture me, he doesn't meet me where I'm at, I know that's probably another whole show, but do you have some advice? Again, I'm wondering, as I'm hearing you talk, would that be a reason enough to get yourself to counseling and work this thing out? Because it's a broken down part of your wall. I mean, what do you say?
Yeah, definitely that is a huge, I would say that's, you know, you said a four-alarm fire. You know, that's my analogy is there's a red flashing light on the nuclear reactor that's going on. And it's basically saying if he won't get to counseling, get yourself some counsel. Like, find out, what do I do in the situation? Because everything's different, right? And if you feel like that's all he ever asks about, that's all he ever wants, and he doesn't talk to me, I can almost guarantee you, based on our surveys, this unfortunately isn't 100%, but it's close. It's 99.3 or something percent of men. They don't necessarily realize that you're feeling neglected. Now, you might think, I've told him, but he may not have gotten it. He may not have heard it. He may not know what he can do differently or really be taking seriously the need to do something differently. But it's not out of a bad heart. Most men care about their wives, and they want to make them happy. It's just they don't always know what to do. It's one of the reasons that we put out these little, you know, these little books and these little things where a guy can look at it and say, okay, here's a couple of things that I can do, like very specific things that can help me that don't feel like rocket science. You know, like sit on the couch and listen to her for 15 minutes and talk for 15 minutes each evening. You would be shocked at what a big deal that makes, but it's manageable. It's a bite size.
Indeed.
So that's what we try to get across to the guys.
And all your books are fantastic, and they are just so consumable. You can hold them in your hand, and they pack a punch. Talking to Shanti Feldhahn coming up in a moment here. Her co-author, Craig Gross, joins us. He's on a cell. We're hoping for some good reception there. Continuing this conversation about the importance of us understanding how God has wired a man and what that even means for us as women as well. We can take your questions now, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484.
VO.
Doesn't matter how deep, how dark the night is, keep hope and keep on shining, and they'll see his light burning your heart. And if the road gets rough, just keep your head up, let the world see what you made of, that his love's alive in your deepest part.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Been talking to my friend Shanti Feldhahn, and now her co-author Craig Gross joins us. Title of the book they wrote together is Through a Man's Eyes, Helping Women Understand the Visual Nature of Men. Had a great conversation. Shanti's hanging on. She'll kind of chime into this conversation as well. But I want to give Craig a proper introduction, so let me tell you about him, and we'll get him on the show. Craig Gross is an author, speaker, and pastor and revolutionary. He shot to prominence in 2002 when he founded the website XXX or XXXChurch.com. As a response to the hurting he saw both in those addicted to pornography and those who made their living in the porn industry. He also spearheaded the development of the X3 Watch, an internet accountability system that is used by over 1 million people. He lives in Los Angeles with his wife, Jeanette, and their two children, Nolan and Elise. Craig, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Hey, before we get into the content of your book, we always love to start out our conversations talking scripture. And you chose Matthew 5:28. But I tell you that anyone who looks at women, a woman lustfully, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Talk about that passage, if you would, and unpack it for us.
Yeah, that's one, obviously, in our ministry, XXXChurch.com, we use a lot. And I think oftentimes, growing up in the church, I hear people justify things all the time. Well, at least I'm not doing that. Or, you know, we compare our sin to maybe somebody else's. And I think that passage there in the Bible is pretty clear to say, hey, even if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery. And I think it kind of quiets people down a little bit sometimes on just kind of how severe this. And nothing to somebody, but I think in as far as what God's saying is, hey, this is a serious matter here.
Yeah, indeed. And we tend to be plank-eyed saints, that is for sure. I'm wondering, you open the book with a day in the life of a typical Christian guy. And so for as us as women to read and be looking through his eyes and having you describe even the physical responses that a guy has even to his coworkers, really, it's kind of amazing. I wonder if you could just give a little synopsis for the women listening. We've got a split mix, I would say, of equal number of men and women listening. But for the sake of the women, Craig, give us a little synopsis of that story that you wrote so we can understand.
Yeah, and what we were trying to do on that, Shanti and myself, is not make this so extreme, but just, you know, a guy wakes up and, you know, heads to work and maybe, you know, on the way there, it's a billboard or it's somebody on the subway or it's somebody, you know, that he passes by and you're seeing something suggestive, or get to work and the lady at the front desk has her top maybe a little too revealing, or then you go something on the internet and pretty soon there might just be something that you see on the right-hand side that looks like an interesting story, but you click on it and then you find yourself just 5, 10, 20 minutes kind of possibly being derailed by all those images that you weren't really even looking for, but they've just kind of showed up. And as we kind of talk through a normal day, there's things that men see, and Shanti says it's great, when I've heard her speak and in some other books, is just maybe we weren't meant to see those. God's desire, God's wired us in a way visually, but I believe that some of these images are only supposed to be of our spouse, but yet every day we're being bombarded with these images. And it's not that, yeah, some men might be going out looking for this, but, you know, I was sitting with my son and a bunch of sixth grade boys this year watching the Super Bowl, and I just kind of thought to myself, I'd never would have imagined these ads when I was a kid. And these were ads for cheeseburgers. I mean, these weren't just, you know, using sex and very provocative stuff. That's just the world that we're in today, that these images are everywhere, and it's hard for a man to escape just the pure sense of seeing these things.
Yeah, true that. Really, really true. And, you know, we live in such a sex-saturated culture, it seems almost impossible for young men and old men, really, to live with a purity of heart and mind. When, as Shanti, you were saying, there's landmines everywhere. And I guess I'd love for both of you to speak to this. Shanti, I'll have you go first. But what word of encouragement do you have for that man who's got a really good heart but feels completely at the mercy of the kind of culture that Craig just described?
Well, here's what I've heard from some of those men, which, you know, again, these are guys I talk to every single day. And what I hear, thankfully, is that, yeah, this culture is a minefield, But the good news is that the more you practice discipline, it's like any other kind of discipline. It becomes easier and easier. And the more that you let something derail you, the harder it is. And so that is the encouragement for a guy who just wants to be honorable and just wants to be godly, is that it, listen, it may be difficult. Maybe you're in your 20s. The testosterone is flowing so strongly. You want to look at those images. But let me tell you, I have heard from men who are in that same age bracket who tell me they started practices of trying to tear down those thoughts and not look in those directions and doing what they needed to do, getting in the men's groups, getting in the accountability when they were younger, and those habits start to be built up, and it becomes so much more easy, not totally easy, but more easy, easier in a difficult culture. So stick with it. And let me tell you guys, if you are listening to this and you've gotten into trouble and you've looked at things you shouldn't have looked at, you've gotten into bad habits, please get yourself in some sort of an accountability relationship, a men's group, and get the help you need, because it really will change your life.
Good word. Craig, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, exactly what Shanti's saying, but in addition, when you're, what we've seen, when you're able to talk about these things, whether that's with your wife or whether that's with your mom or whether that's with an accountability group or just some friends, you're able to, if you're able to talk about this, the visual temptations, anything related to sex, anything related to lust, pornography, you're able to talk about anything else so much easier. And I found from what I've seen with people using our software, X3 Watch, they tell me, hey, this has deepened our relationship, because when we have men talking to other men about issues that most men keep as secrets and they feel like they can't even talk to a friend, let alone their wife, about this, once you can get over that and actually start talking about this, that's when not only do we see people have tremendous breakthrough, but in other areas of their lives, that they're not as scared of going there and going a little deeper in those relationships.
Wow, that's such a good word. Here's another really important point that I thought was so just important to note. You wrote, just because men want to look doesn't make them jerks. And I just feel like we as women really, really need to hear that, because we feel almost like there's the haves and the have-nots, you know. And those who don't have, if they ever admit any kind of trouble, they're actually just being honest, is what we're learning here. But truly, we think they're all jerks if they struggle. But that's a lie, and we're setting men up to fail. So, Craig, unpack that statement. Just because men want to look doesn't make them jerks.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. If there's a woman, let's say she's wearing some workout clothes or not a whole lot of clothes, and she drives right by you, and if you're the wife, and if you see her, there's no chance that your husband didn't see her. But oftentimes what we'll see is, like, nobody will even mention that. Like, let's just, that didn't happen. And I think if you're able to talk through that and understand that, wow, that, yeah, I just saw that, her, I didn't look again, or I didn't, you know, turn back around. But if you're able to have just a simple conversation acknowledging that, I think that's a start, rather than just assume he's looking or just assumptions sometimes that we make. I'd rather see couples just kind of talk about that. We were in Atlanta, my wife and I, just this past week, and I said to my wife, women here don't seem, and this is not just saying, oh, maybe it was the area we were at in Atlanta, they don't seem to be wearing many clothes. And so I just kind of acknowledged that I was aware of that and I saw that. And then we had a conversation around that. And I feel like sometimes we want to pretend that none of that is actually exists, not only in our culture, but we're not seeing these things. And I just recommend being able to talk through this stuff and be aware of your surroundings.
Wow. I want to read an email from an anonymous listener and love to have both of you speak to it. Shanti, we'll go with you first. It says, my husband and I have had this conversation recently, and I asked him about this, and he maintains that he's not affected by visual things. I told him I didn't think he was being honest with me. I myself just can't see any man not being affected by this. I think he's afraid to talk about it. Maybe he doesn't want to hurt me by admitting it. What are your thoughts about this? I'm feeling a little bothered that he won't talk about this with me. What do you say?
Well, there's actually another possibility that she's not considering, and that's that he's being totally honest, and what he means by not bothered is that he's just had good visual habits his whole life. And so he's just learned how to, he's like a fish who's learned how to swim in water and handle it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a couple of really close couples, friends that we're close with Jeff and me, and I completely trust the husband's honesty. And we were just talking about this just the other night, and he said, you know, I was raised by godly parents, and they taught me how to take my thoughts captive and, you know, bounce my eyes from a really young age, which is, by the way, something moms need to be aware of for their sons. And he said they taught me those habits, and I just have kind of stuck with them. And as a result, it's like anything else. If you're practicing godly habits, God honors that. And so that's another really important thing, is to recognize, yeah, he's still a man. His brain can still be stimulated, but he's handling it well. And that's something that, if that is your husband, to the lady who wrote in, I mean, learning about this and talking about this with him, and if that is his reality, thanking him for that and honoring you in that way, he would love that appreciation for something that has been a pretty probably difficult discipline his whole life.
And took some intention. And I will tell you, my husband said the same thing. He was raised by very godly parents, but he said on top of that, of them just talking to me about that, he said, I had friends who went the other way, and I saw the cost to them, and it's not worth it to me. I see the enticement, but I'm so clear on the cost. It's not worth it. So from very young, he guarded, and, you know, not to say never struggles, but he's just saying it's not something that he's constantly led astray by, because he has such an ironclad protection around his heart and mind. And so, such a good idea to have conversations with your sons when they're young. Craig, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, let's just take the opposite side. There could be that guy that is maybe not being honest. And so I don't want to jump there initially. I think where you guys said it is great. But there could be that guy that doesn't feel comfortable being honest when you're suspecting, or Shanti and I kind of said we're working on this talk together, and I think we use the word police or detective. When the wife plays that role, and you're trying to figure this out, and you're accusing or you're suggesting, the first response that we're going to have is, oh, no, definitely. No, I didn't see her. No, I don't struggle with that. I didn't click on that. We're going to go to that if we're feeling like we're kind of backed into a corner. And so I think having that conversation, whether that's with your son or with a husband, and the more honest, obviously, he could be and feel open. You know, I think Shanti said in one of these points, be calm. You know, if you're calm in how you bring these things up, that could help the conversation a whole lot more. So he's not on the defense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. We need to take a quick short break. One of the things that Shanti and Craig wrote said, it's actually pretty comfortable for the jerk to live in today's sexualized culture. Pretty difficult for the guy who wants to be honorable. All the more reason we as women need to respond in a right way, so that we are standing with them, we are supporting them and encouraging them. You can call, and if you prefer to be anonymous, that's totally okay. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Shanti Feldhahn and Craig Gross in a moment. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a fabulous conversation with my friend Shanti Feldhahn and her co-author Craig Gross, talking about a very interesting topic, through a man's eyes, helping women understand the visual nature of men. And I read this before the break. It bears repeating again, because I want us to be charged as women as how we can come alongside men with the way that God wired them. And one thing Shanti had said at the beginning of the show is, you know, here men are visually wired and women are mostly blind to it. But what you wrote in the book is, it's actually pretty comfortable for the jerk to live in today's sexualized culture. It's pretty difficult for the guy who wants to be honorable. So again, we'll start with you, Shanti, but give us a charge as women. Because that's true, what can we do differently? What should we for sure not do? How do we need to respond in a way that's helpful?
Well, I think Craig really nailed it earlier. And to me, the most important thing, if you're in a relationship with a man who you care about, let's say it's your husband or boyfriend or your son who you're trying to raise, one of the most important things to do is to really understand this, so you can have that kind of compassion, even if they've made very wrong choices, that you can understand where some of those wrong choices came from. We talk about it basically being empathetic without endorsing poor choices. Mm. If you understand that, you know how you said reading that thing at the beginning about our guy, Jack, who's just going through and living a normal day and trying to have an honorable thought life, and it made you feel kind of sad for him, kind of sorry for him having to confront this. That's honestly the heart that I think we all need to have when it comes to the challenges that we all face, men or women of any kind, in today's culture. And if we have that, it'll enable us to have that kind of conversation with our man that Craig was talking about being safe and being calm and being able to say, you know what, honey, I just want to understand you. And like Craig said, he might be a little bit nervous about having that conversation. And you don't have to have it all at once. I mean, look for opportunities. One of the counselors that we quoted in the book described it as like picture inching out onto a frozen pond to see if the ice will bear the weight, you know, of the conversation. And maybe wait, you know, talk about it a little bit later and in little bits. And it's the kind of thing that if you can get in that habit, Craig is totally right. He's seen this so many times in his ministry. That is the kind of thing that builds true intimacy because you're not hiding anything in your relationship anymore.
So good, Craig. I have a couple questions. I set this one up before you came on that I meet women once in a while who say, well, I know my husband's a perpetual porn user, but men will be men, and I'm really okay with it. But just some of the research that I've read, that it actually changes the brain function because you're not meant to be exposed to such visual images over and over again. What do you say about that and all the work that you've done to help people recover from addiction that way?
Yeah, the excuse of, yeah, boys will be boys. I'm actually reading a book by a popular, secular personality, and he's talking about how he's talking to his kid, and he says, I'm going to introduce my kid to this because, what's the big deal? I'm going, the biggest thing I've seen is people can't relate now with a real experience with a real woman because pornography is so selfish. It's all about what you like, when you like this, how you like this. And, you know, real life isn't like that, and where you both have needs and feelings and emotions. So the biggest thing we see is people get into marriage or get into relationship and they'd rather still use porn. When I talk to high school kids or even kids in college, they're going, you're crazy. Like, when I get to do this one day, I'll do this. And it's they just think the things that they play with in high school aren't going to, you know, continue with them. And you're like, no, this is not only going to stay with you, this is going to affect what you think and how you view sex. And that's super dangerous, you know, to me, where people are then – because porn is not at all about this real connection with a person. And so it's dangerous, you know, and don't be fooled into thinking this just automatically goes away one day.
Wow, really good. Okay, let's talk on the flip side. When we would maybe as women overcorrect, I've read one of the stories in your book. I think a woman, I don't know if she was engaged or dating, but her man had looked at a couple of magazines. She broke up with him, you know, an overreach, an overreaction. But on the flip side, is there a time when the use is so severe that a woman should get out or the woman should intervene in some significant way? Shani, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, and Craig's really the one who can answer that better than I can. Let me just start, though, by saying, if there is an actual issue, definitely, you can't ignore it. I mean, this is the rest of your life that we're talking about, and almost certainly he feels trapped if he is doing something that's hurting you and he feels like he can't stop. And that's where getting that specialized help is so critical, and that's what Craig's ministry is all about.
Take it from there, Craig.
Yeah, it's every situation is obviously different. And so I meet people that, I mean, it might have started with pornography and it's ended with, you know, affairs. And so you can't really say, hey, even my wife and I mean, as horrible as this might sound, we've talked about, you know, cause cheating and all this stuff's all around us, like what we think we would do in that situation. And yet we've kind of come to the conclusion, one, we hope we never get in that situation, but you don't really know until – You only know your relationship. And so what I have seen, I mean, this has been crazy because you know, I look at Shanti and her books, and I never thought anything is controversial. And, you know, when Shanti told me, hey, this is a tough subject to navigate, I'm going, wait, what do you mean people didn't like what you said here? And so as this book's come out, and Shanti and I haven't even talked about this in this much in depth, our audience on Triple X Church, I forget sometimes, we deal with a good amount of women who have been hurt. If they're on our social networking page and they're a female, they're there because they've, you know, their husband or somebody they know has been dealing with this. So when I started rolling out stuff about this book, the immediate defense from women is still filled with so much hurt. And well, what are you telling me? Men are visual and God made them this way. Like, they've done this to me and my husband did this and it's not right. And really, like, I mean, I even had a friend take down a blog that he just posted because he's like, what's the deal with all these women? And we've just kind of come to the conclusion there's so much hurt. And if men understood that these women see what you do in your pornography use so much deeper than any guy sees it. And I mean, I'm seeing it front and center all over these comments on our pages of women that are just hurt. And that's what, if couples can understand the pain and the hurt that is around this, and they're willing to engage in conversation and even just hear us out, we really think this book will help engage you in these conversations. We're not making excuses for men.
Yeah.
But we're trying to help women understand this.
That's a really good point. I have time for one more question before we pray. And Shanti, I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking of the woman who's been so deeply hurt by her husband's porn use that she's maybe hearing through a filter saying, so I'm supposed to just celebrate how he's wired and support him. But you do feel so violated as a woman. That's what I've heard from women who say, I can't compete with that. I don't want to. Yeah. It's disgusting. I mean, what advice do you have for that woman who's been so damaged by her husband's use? I mean, on one hand, she wants to understand how God wired her, but he's crossed the line. Well, you said it's one thing to be wired this way. It's another thing to make a choice. Well, she's like, I've been impacted by his choices. Now what?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah. Listen, I have a couple of good girlfriends who are in that exact situation. And what we always come back to is just keeping in mind constantly. I mean, and this is where I'm so glad for those of us who really can draw on the power of the Holy Spirit. This is really where you have to recognize that you can trust God even if you feel like you can't trust your husband. And to really put this at his feet and say, God, I can't handle this. And let me speak directly to that woman. When I talk about understanding men, this is, yeah, it applies to you to some degree because you need to understand what's behind it. But this is not the little things that we're talking about, learning how to have a safe conversation. All of those things mostly apply day to day to day to people who are just dealing with, you know, the majority of cases where you've got a guy who's just kind of wrestling with having a visually wild brain in this culture and he hasn't developed an addiction. If you're dealing with a husband who has an addiction, first of all, you need to know that there is a path through this. And that is what, like Craig's ministry, and there are so many counselors now who are specialized, thank God, in dealing with this. And we have seen thousands and thousands of marriages healed and restored and men getting victory from this. But that is even more important, to go in to that process and that path understanding him and truly how this culture can trap a man who does not want to be trapped and feels incredible shame. If you go into it with that heart and asking God to give you that heart, even if you don't have it, that it may seem like it's all on you. It's not. And don't hear me say that. That really is where God comes in and holds your hand and walks you through it.
Yeah, and just as God is inviting you to have compassion for him, God has compassion for you, just knowing this is the world we live in right now. And what an important book. As we wrap up, I'm thinking, Shanti, of that woman listening. In fact, I just got an email from a woman whose husband uses porn, and he says it's the same as looking at cars for him. And she feels kind of, you know, not sure what to do about that. Would you pray for that woman who wants so much to understand her husband, but at the same time is nursing a broken heart?
Yeah, Lord, we just pray right now for everybody who's listening to this, who has different needs in this area. And Lord, I just ask that you would come in power and open our eyes as women to how we can respond and how we can understand our men, but also open the eyes of our men. like Craig saw and his people saw, that there are a lot of women out there who have legitimately been terribly hurt by husbands who just don't get why this is hurtful. Lord, come in power and open blind eyes. You are so good at that, and we trust you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Shanti and Craig, thank you for joining us today. Great conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast up on our website, myfaithradio.com. We'll meet you back here next time.